Yeah, but Liverpool were always going to look for further reinforcements. They're not going to go into the season with just one right back. They'll want lots of options everywhere.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own! He gets the try!
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try for Munster!
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan from Off The Ball, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes. To look back on an impressive Munster performance against Connacht at McHale Park, which tees them up nicely for a clash with La Rochelle in the Champions Cup this weekend. We'll discuss all that and more across the course of the next while on the Red 78. Quinny, Fiona, how are you guys? Good to see you as always.
Good, Rory, in great form now after that win. My own team had a win at the end, and it was like everything's timed to the tee for a warm-up, and I'd just left the match inside and I'd 3 minutes left before the warm-up started, and I was watching that Bundyaki part on my phone crying for 1 second, and then all the girls were like, "What's she screaming?" I was delighted then when it was overturned for that clear out. Yeah. So it was a stressful game, I will say that.
Yeah, nervy last couple of minutes there. All right, Quinny, how are you, buddy?
Very good, thanks. Yeah, looking forward to seeing what's going to happen at the weekend. And thankfully, Fiona Hayes didn't have to go out and play last weekend.
Yes.
Like she did a few weeks ago. But she's off to La Rochelle this weekend anyway, so.
I am, and I'm not working as well, so watch out anyone over there.
See someone a half and half scarf, that's our Fiona.
Go away.
All right, we have a lot to discuss on the show today. A couple of comments reaching us, Fiona, about the game last week and about this weekend's game.
Yeah, thanks again for sending them in, guys. It's always great to get that bit of interaction. So we'll go with JJ Casey has. Great to see the Casey Crowley back in sync. How should Munster approach the La Rochelle game for a surprise win? We might touch on that in a bit. Keane McGibney, how do you think Munster will get on Saturday? Will La Rochelle power off the bench be the difference, or have Munster enough now to cause a shock result? Richard Daly, Nank is a yellow, surely. Crowley, surely a central contract. Ben Connor is a committed player, but defensively seems to be off for what you need at 15. Patrick McLooney, Munster will win Saturday. Sure of it. Casey on track for Munster Player of the Year, even though he has missed a few months. And East Coaster, it would be ironic if Munster winning in La Rochelle end up being a major contributory factor to Raj's likely imminent dismissal.
Yeah, we'll discuss, I suppose, La Rochelle and the format they're in under O'Gara at the moment in just a little bit on the podcast. But we look back on that win over Connacht at McHale Park over the weekend, Munster winning 30-24, playing most of the game with 14 men and 13 men, I suppose, at some stage in the second half as well, when Tyke Byrne got a yellow card. But Quinny, and this was just what the doctor ordered for Munster, wasn't it?
It was a vital win, I think. We said it last week. Must win for both teams, really. Connacht, you know, with the whole emotion, novelty of the game being on in Castlebar and getting their internationals back, I was pretty nervous. I thought that it was a tall order for Munster to go and win. I was very impressed with their control, their composure, and their ability maybe to block out the crowd a little bit, because... you know, the Connacht supporters far exceeded what Munster fans were there for, obvious reasons as well. And, you know, it was an incredible occasion. I think Jack Crowley spoke about it afterwards. Unique occasion. And I thought Munster played really well when they control things. And I suppose they'll, some parts of the game they'll be disappointed with, probably, you know, it'd been a little bit soft at times when they were in control. And look, Connacht, there was always going to be a surge back from Connacht, but I think Connacht, they dominated for long periods of the game, Munster. So particularly on the scoreboard, they kept it ticking over. And yeah, I think they'd be very pleased with it. I think if the try isn't ruled out at the end, Connacht are possibly winning that game. JJ Hanrahan has a kick to win the game, conversion. So, yeah, it was a mad game. It was exciting. It was great excitement there all the way through. And lots of of things and elements in the game that Munster will be very happy with. I think I did speak a lot about a couple of weeks ago. You know, you're integrating players back in here and you're trying to get them up to speed. And I thought the game would be a bit of niggle to the game. Obviously, the derby matches, there's that extra spice to them. And I thought Munster handled the physical side of it well, and they started with real intent. So kind of laid the platform down with the early part to that game, and second half then to get those tries, the Crowley try and the Barron try. They were crucial moments, and you just felt the game was over there. Obviously, it wasn't, because, you know, Connacht could have had a conversion to win the game. But yeah, it was very entertaining, I think, and a mad inter-pro game. I think that both sides would be disappointed with the tries they conceded.
Fiona, why were Connacht not able to capitalise on Munster being down to 14 for so much that game? And then, as I mentioned, in the second half, down to 13 as well, when Tadhg Brown got that yellow card.
A couple of things. I thought, Quinny, you mentioned it earlier, composure. I thought Munster were brilliant in holding on to the ball. They kept it in a little tighter. Obviously, you have to try and do that. I think they had 134 carries. You could see they were hitting it up nice and narrow. If they were turned over, I suppose they were able to get that defensive set back in. I thought Munster were excellent in game management. That 100% was Crowley and Casey when Conor Murray came on as well. There was some great game management there. But a part of it also as well, I really felt, and it was the same the week before, I feel like Connacht, unless they're down big tries or big numbers, they don't take the shackles off. You know, it's when they did that, they obviously went wide, they obviously went to play, they were pulling it out the back, they put Munster under pressure, but Munster held on to the ball as long as they could and frustrated Connacht. And eventually when they did, we saw that Connacht can score tries. But certainly for that period of the game, having been a man down, I thought Munster's how they played, it was brilliant. And even with Josh Ioane, they know he's not the best kicker, you know what I mean? So they weren't, I suppose they weren't putting it, they weren't dropping into that backfield, because they knew he in the wind up at McHale Park, he didn't look comfortable in kicking it over the top. So they generally only had one man in that backfield they were able to kind of go over, and that solid wall defence was absolutely exceptional and brilliant at winning turnovers as well. I think they turned Connacht over maybe 12 times. So to do that with a man down is huge, especially, you know, in that narrow. So I felt like it was a really good game plan by Munster. It was executed. Yes, they'll be disappointed with the tries that were scored against them, but their ability to hold on to the ball for long periods and frustrate Connacht after that, initially, especially after the yellow card, I thought they were exceptional in that area.
And Quinny, that red card for Alex Nankivell, I mean, like, I've seen a lot of people say that it was harsh and maybe a yellow card was probably the more likely outcome. What was your feelings on it?
Yeah, just to go back to Fiona's point there, your question about what did Munster do well, I'd just like to add to that. And I think she alluded to it there in saying that Munster actually kept it quite tight and they stayed pretty close to the rucks. In other words, they didn't go very wide and get exposed. Their accuracy around the breakdown was very good. I know there was some errors in there, but Connacht were the team that kind of dropped the ball, knocked it on, gave forward passes, just made a lot of mistakes. And I think that's what Colly Tucker was talking about after the game. That'll be their biggest disappointment, because they didn't capitalise with the numerical advantage. I know they scored tries there. You know, the Blade try, 44 minutes. I think that's the one that gives them that surge that you think they're on the way back. Munster actually reacted really quickly and Crowley goes up the field and scores. And the numerical advantage doesn't, if you think about it, when you get close or into the opposition 22 and you're trying to muscle up and you're not going wide, it doesn't really have a big effect, because it's all about winning those small collisions, trying to get over the gain line. So when Munster got close to the line for Crowley's try and for Barron's try, it didn't really matter that you're down a number there, and they punished him there. That was, you know, 14 points really, and really, really crucial, obviously, as it played out in the end. psychologically, Munster had to, you know, that is a big blow if you're a player on the field and you lose someone to a red card after 25 minutes in what you expect is going to be a very tight game anyway, small margins. Look, I, at the time, I thought it was a red. I thought it could have got to a red, but when I watched a couple of replays, his body position and nearly everything the referee said was inaccurate. He said he charged in from a distance. He had a clear line of sight. Went off his feet. There was force in it. High level of danger. No wrap. A lot of that stuff is inaccurate and not true. I think Alex Nankivell tries to get in under Cian Prendergast. And what actually, you know, obviously it's very unfortunate to see a player get a knock like that and be knocked out. But it was actually Alex Nankivell's knee that clipped his head, and it was totally accidental. And look, I think Munster have appealed the red card decision based on everything I've said, and look, you can take the kind of bias out of it. If it was the other way around, it would have been, I would say the same, but it's a harsh red card. It's somewhere between a yellow and a red, and if the player, Cian Prendergast, doesn't receive the injury, what happens? It's yellow at most. And you have to be careful that we don't base these decisions on whether a player is injured or not. I've been very proactive around the head knocks for a number of years, and I've always spoke about changing behaviours and you know, lowering the tackle height and all that kind of stuff. So I've always spoke about that, and I've been pretty consistent, I think. So player safety is the most important thing. I'm just not sure what Alex Nankivell can do differently there, because, you know, when the player locks onto the ball like that, if you come in from any sort of a side angle, you're risking hitting a leg or a knee or something like that, and you know, we know how hot they are, rightly so, on any sort of lower leg injuries. I don't think he charges in. I think he tries to technically get under him. He does try to wrap, but there's Connacht players on that side as well, and he can't get his arm around. Look, I think it's not one of those ones that I'd say, oh, it's a terrible, terrible decision, and it's not right. It should have been a yellow, and it was never a red. I can see how it got to a red, but I just think that for me, I would have given a yellow. And I just think it's a big price for him to pay now from Munster for the next couple of weeks. Again, thankfully, Cian Prendergast is okay. But actually, if you look at it very, very slow, it's actually Alex Nankivell. He goes so low and he tries to drive his legs forward. And he as he's coming in, he clips his... It's the knee that clips Cian Prendergast. The force of the shoulder isn't the issue here, because that's not what causes the issue for Cian Prendergast. So, big blow for him. I doubt if it'll be overturned, because... the player is injured. There is contact with the shoulder to the head. I don't think the force is there, but then obviously the player gets injured. And if you move that on to the Bundiaki one on Gavin Coombs, the referee bases that on no injury. In other words, it is a very, very dangerous crop roll there. And he asked the question, did the player come down on the lower limb, on the leg? And he didn't, obviously, thankfully. But the twist that happened there, Gavin Coombs. So if Gavin Coombs snaps his cruciate ligament, well, then does Craig Evans kind of say, well, it's a card then, or I have to take a more serious punishment there, or look at that? So... I think, if Cian Prendergast doesn't get injured, it's definitely yellow. And if Gavin Coombs gets injured, then you're talking about a red for Bundiaki. So, look, neither player is trying to hurt the opposition. Neither player is trying to be cynical and malicious. I think it's just unfortunate. Bundy got away with one, and Ankivell didn't. But again, you know, you have to think of the player, Cian Prendergast. And look, it's difficult, I think, for any rugby person. How do you get Cian Prendergast out there? You can't go in and put your hands around his body and twist him to the side anymore, because that's the croc roll. You can't kind of go in at the side, because you're risking. It's a very difficult one there. And I think it's an unfortunate injury and a situation. But I genuinely believe that Alex Nankin was trying to get in under Cian Prendergast to move him off there. And I don't think he charged from a distance. I don't think he was reckless in his body language. He didn't go off his feet. But again, I don't think we'll see what the outcome is today of the appeal. It's unlikely that he get off. He has a chance, really, based on some of the stuff I spoke about, and that's what the argument Munster will make.
Well, luckily the red card didn't affect Munster getting the win over the weekend, Fiona. It's plenty of positives to take from that Munster performance, as we touched on, but the performance of Jack Crowley and Craig Casey in that 9-10 axis, they were absolutely superb, the both of them.
Oh, unbelievable. I think they showed us what we were missing when both of them weren't there, because even just Casey's speed of attack, his accuracy, you know, just to come back, I just have to acknowledge, just to come back from that type of injury and and come into a game of that magnitude and perform like that is unbelievable. From the start of the game, he was precise with his passing. I thought he was just superb. And then Crowley, kick and performance, yes, you know, that's, I suppose that's an area of his game that's been questioned after the last Six Nations, and I thought he's kicking out of hand, he's kicking from tee, how he controlled everything, how he carried to the gain line, how he distributed. He just had a really, really good game for Munster, and the two of them together were able to pick apart, and especially two of them coming up with a try each. So there was some absolute moments of magic for both of them. I think we can't not talk about that Josh Ioane penalty, where we see Craig jumping over the line and the athleticism to catch it, jump back in and push it backwards. He's just a super, super player, and I'm absolutely delighted he's back. Didn't think it'd actually be this game. I think there was chat before that he might be back just in time for the European game, but to get that performance against Connacht is going to stand hugely now when he's selected against La Rochelle. So it's brilliant for him to have that performance going after France. And Crowley, I'm always a huge fan. I'm just delighted that he came up with that kind of performance, and people were able to look at him and see exactly what he can do. With still pressure on, there is still a lot of talk about that contract situation, but he was able to park that, go out and put in some game. Just unbelievable to do.
And that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we preview the massive clash with La Rochelle, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, YouTube or Spotify for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.